Good morning. I'd like to call the meeting of the Traverse Central Appraisal District Board of Directors to order. The time is 11:32 on Thursday, January 7th, 2021. We are conducting this meeting via Zoom meeting service and a quorum is present. The first item on our agenda is election of officers for the Board of Directors, Chairperson, Vice Chairperson, Secretary Treasurer. Do we have any nominations for, start with the chairperson. Do we have any nominations?
Move James Valadez. Nominate him, rather.
Okay. It's been moved. Is there a second to that?
I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to the vice chairperson. Is there a nomination for that position?
I nominate Bruce.
I'll second that.
The item has been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. On to the Secretary Treasurer. Is there a nomination for that position?
Nominate Teresa Bastian.
Okay.
I second.
Item has been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will go on to item four on our agenda, citizens communication. I have the name of one citizen that signed up, Thomas King. Is Thomas King in the Zoom?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing, Mr. King?
Fine, thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity, Chair Valadez and board members. My name is Tom King. I'm a sixth year member of the Appraisal Review Board here in Travis County. I want to talk a little bit about two items. The first is the blindside attack made by the chief appraiser at your last board of directors meeting on December 3rd. And I call it a blindside attack because the charts and pages concerning the ARB, its budgeted cost overrun, the high cost of doing hearings, and the per diem payment to ARB members that the chief appraiser showed were not available to the public before your meeting. And were not available to the ARB before the meeting. Usually data is provided to a party so they can prepare rebuttal comments and check the accuracy of the data, but not in this case. Through open records requests and a review of information presented in the public websites of several of the counties in the chief appraiser's charts, here are a few of the inaccuracies on the TCAD chart titled 2020 ARB Comparison. Bexar County held 16,291 formal hearings, not the 8,580 shown in the chart. Fort Bend County held 31,148 formal hearings, not the 15,000 shown in the chart. And Dallas County held 72,441 formal hearings, not the 116,198 shown in the chart. There are other things that were incorrect. These are just a few of the examples. The second item I want to talk about are three numbers, 66, 23 and 10. That's the percent of protests that were resolved informally over the last 4 years, in 2017 and 2018. 66% of the protests were settled informally. In 2019, it fell down to 23%. And in 2020, we just concluded, only 10% of the protests filed were settled informally by the appraisal district. And this is information I received in an open records request. Here's the what I call the big budget problem of unintended consequences. At least I think they're unintended. The ARB members were paid only $390,000 for their work in 2017 and 2018. In 2019, that cost rose to $1.5 million. And this year, or this past year, 2020, it will be over $1.2 million. That's triple what the cost was just 2 years ago. It's very simple. A lower number of informal agreements equals a higher number of ARB formal hearings equals higher ARB costs. And by the way, just as a point of reference, your fellow county to the north of you, Williamson, settled 72% of their protests this past year as informal agreements. And Bexar County down in the San Antonio area, which had 130,000 protests filed, which is more than were filed in Travis County, settled 75% of their protests informally. So as a board, you need to decide this. Do you want TCAD to negotiate value appeals and reach back up to that 60% informal agreement level and go back to $400,000 ARB costs? Or do you want the TCAD to continue to have ARB costs at $1.2 to $1.5 million? I kind of felt had the feeling that when you asked the Travis County judge to appoint a sufficient number of new members to reach 200 ARB members, it sounds to me as if you want a $1.5 million cost level for ARB compensation. As a side note, in your budget for 2021 that has been approved, there's a $7,500 figure for training and education for the Appraisal Review Board.
That's time, Mr. King. Thank you very much. All
right. Thank you very much.
Mario, do you want to address any of those topics that were raised, or would you like to speak to those during your chief appraiser's report?
No, we had reached out to Mr. Cordell for this meeting, and he told us that he did not have anything to present at this time. So we did not put an agenda item for this meeting. Hopefully he'll have some time to prepare and we'll be able to put it as an agenda item for the next meeting, and we can discuss it at the next meeting.
Okay, I know that he did reach out to myself yesterday after five, and then there was some communication back and forth earlier today saying that he was ready to present. So it sounds like there might be some level of miscommunication there, but we'll absolutely have it on the agenda for next meeting, and both will be ready to present at that time.
Yes, and again, in the interest of fairness, because he told us he was not, did not at this time have anything to present, and because we don't have anything pressing, we felt that it was appropriate to put it on the next agenda for next month's meeting.
It sounds reasonable. We will go on to item five on our agenda, the consent agenda. These items may be acted upon by one motion. No separate discussion or vote on any of the items will be had unless requested by a board member. Item five includes the approval of the minutes from the December 3rd, 2020 meeting, the taxpayer liaison report, the section 2525B report, the accounting statements, and the personnel reports. I'll give the board members some time to review these documents, and then we will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Okay. That item has been moved.
Second.
And seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will move on to our regular agenda, starting with 6A, discussion and possible action on Chief Appraiser's report to include 2021 field work, evaluation processes, remaining 2020 protests, and communication and outreach programs.
Thank you. So the appraisal district, we are in the midst of preparing our 2021 appraisal roll. We've got our appraisers starting their field work, but because of pandemic conditions, we are trying to limit the scope of the physical on-site inspections that they do just out of an abundance of caution and safety. So we have limited the scope of our physical inspections, but we're doing as much work as we can, either through reaching out to property owners and getting photographs electronically, and trying to make sure that we continue to put the work together and get the right information in order to do our work, but do it in the safest possible fashion. We will also start our valuation processes in the near future. We're a little bit behind schedule because of our ARB season and the pandemic has extended a little bit longer, but we're taking some actions to either reduce our scope or see if there's a way that we can streamline and expedite so that we can get our valuation process done and still be able to meet our target goal of getting our notices of appraised values out at the beginning of April. We may be maybe a week or two behind that, but we're really pushing very hard so that we can still maintain that release of the notices of appraised value in early April. In terms of the remaining 2020 protest, and this is information that I had shared with Mr. Cordell, we have approximately 2,500 2020 protests remaining, but the overwhelming majority of those are requests for in-person hearings or reschedule requests. Of the total protests that we've got for 2020, we only have 10 that were timely filed and were never scheduled for a hearing. But we have addressed all the others, and the ones that we have not actually had a hearing on is because they've requested in-person hearings. Given that we're at stage 5 and the community spread of the pandemic, I would agree that it's prudent for us not to conduct in-person hearings at this time, but we will try to get them in at the earliest possible moment as soon as it is safe to proceed to do so. For communications and outreach programs, we've got a pretty aggressive program scheduled for this this spring, late winter. We are trying to do a webinar, one webinar each month. Our first one is coming up next week. We've got a webinar on the property tax bill since the tax bill deadline is coming up soon. From the appraisal district's perspective, we'll touch on a little bit about homestead exemptions and some late remedies that property owners may have available to them. But we also will have Bruce Elfont from the tax office joining us so that he can talk about actually tax payments. And because the deadline is coming up pretty quick, we think that's pretty timely for property owners to do that webinar in January. In February and March, we're going to do additional webinars on homesteads, again, to try to encourage as many property owners as possible to file their homestead exemptions. So we'll be doing those in February and March. And then probably March, we may also add in some more information about what your appraisal notice is, just in advance of when they get it, so they know what to expect. Then in April and May, we'll try to do some webinars on how to file your property protest and what to bring to your informal hearing and what they might want to present to the ARB at a formal hearing. But those will be March, April, and May kind of things. So we're trying to do one every month, pretty aggressive, but I think it will be a really good thing for our property owners to have that kind of information. And so those are kind of the communication programs and outreach programs that we have planned for this spring for property owners. Are there any questions? Yes, Mr. Nguyen.
Yes, about your outreach. I did have one question approached to me about disability exemption. Individual said that they noticed one of their neighbors had almost 100% reduction in their taxable values, and it was because they were disabled. And he said it was based on his Social Security being classified as being disabled. Is that an exemption that we have? And I think I did see it on the website, but I didn't see a form to apply for that.
Yes, it is part of the regular homestead exemption. And there are multiple disability exemptions. You've got the disabled veterans. For veterans that are 100% disabled, that's 100% exemption from property taxes. And then you have just a standard disabled persons exemption that they can get. But the disabled persons exemption, in addition to having an additional exemption amount, and it varies for each taxing entity, but in addition to having an exemption amount, they're also eligible for the tax limitation or freeze on their property taxes for school districts. So that can really reduce the tax liability for a property owner that might have that kind of exemption. And we see a lot of long-term residents that have had an over 65 or disabled exemption for a long period of time, having really nominal or reduced tax bills because of the benefits that they get for their additional exemptions.
Okay, I think that would be good to communicate at these outreach, because I didn't know about it. I knew about the veterans, but I didn't know there was a general disability one. And it sounds like whatever Social Security says, if they're 50%, 75%, then they can apply for it using the same.
No. For the disabled persons exemption, each taxing entity determines the amount of the exemption that they will grant. And it's a dollar amount that they can grant for a disabled persons exemption that would be applied. There is one that is a percentage based on disabled veterans, but that's a separate one. But in our webinars, we do cover all the all the homestead exemptions and disabled veterans exemptions that are available to property owners. And we touch base and educate the property owners on all of them. That's part of our presentation.
All right, great. Thanks.
May I speak?
Yes, Debbie. Debbie Cartwright is our new member to our board of directors. She's been appointed by Austin ISD, and among her many, many valuable credentials that she brings to the appraisal district, she is also the former director of the Comptroller's Property Tax Assistance Division, which gives her a wide breadth of knowledge about appraisal districts and the work that we need to do. So we thank her in advance for her service to the board of directors. Go ahead, Debbie.
I feel real privileged that I get to use my experience in this way. And in response to what y'all were just talking about, those exemption forms can be a little confusing. And so everything that has to do with the exemptions is on that one residence homestead exemption form, and it gets a little awkward at times. So I understand why there would be confusion. I wanted to commend, first of all, the appraisal district on public outreach that I saw on the news. I was watching local news one morning and they came on and talked about it being time to file for homestead exemptions. And January 1st was the date, and be sure and contact the appraisal district. And so I thought that was excellent that it was on the local news and was available for everybody who watched to know about that. The question I had, Maria, has to do with the protests. You said there were 2,500 2020 protests that remain. Mm-hmm. Do you have the number for the late filed motions, 2525Cs and 2525Ds that have been filed late in the year in 2020 for the 2020 protest season?
They were included in that number of 2,500, okay. But I don't have a breakout for you, but I can
That's fine.
That to you.
As long as they are included. I thought maybe that was just the straight out protest that you hadn't gotten to. So that includes all the 2525s also.
Includes 2525s, late requests. Okay. Everything was included in that number.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Maria, may I comment?
Yes.
To reiterate, Debbie, since people may listen to this meeting afterwards, the exemption form is on our website. I just checked. It is under the typical general exemption form. It's just different options on the general form that you typically fill out.
Yes.
Yeah. And thank you for commenting. I got to give appreciation to Cynthia Martinez, who's our communications officer. She has been working really hard and just did the press release on homestead exemptions this week. And I'm glad to see that we're getting some media coverage on her efforts that she's done to get the information out. And again, we want to encourage everybody that is eligible for an exemption to file their application so that we can certainly process it and grant any exemption they're entitled to. And that's everything that I had for the Chief Appraiser's Report.
Okay. We'll go on to item 6B of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on appointment of Ag Advisory Board members.
Yes, and this is Ag Advisory Board. We appoint them every 2 years that they get appointed. And let me go to the page in our agenda. We have four members that are pending appointment or reappointment, and they are Dan Dierschick, Cliff Kessler, Linda Hall, and Tommy Murchison. And we've included in your packet a summary or biography of each of the members that are up for reappointment to the Ag Advisory Board. And this is an appointment that is done through the consent and appointment through the Board of Directors. So we are presenting this to you for potential reappointment of those members to our Ag Advisory Board.
Okay.
So I have a
Remind me again, who recommends these people? Are these coming from you, or how are these people found or discovered?
Now, I have no part of this process. These are the Ag Advisory Board actually recruits members to appoint, particularly when a member is resigning or no longer wishes to serve. And then it's presented to the board of directors.
Are any of these people present today?
I do not believe so.
Good.
Debbie, you had a question?
Yes, I did. I've forgotten the statutory provision for how often they meet. Is it quarterly or twice a year?
I believe our Ag Advisory Board meets quarterly. Dusty, do you recall?
No, I would have to check on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have they been active as far as making recommendations to you guys, net to land calculations and acreage size for intensity of use and that sort of thing? I saw by the membership that they're all very well qualified and they understand
agricultural. I've actually sat in a few of the board meetings with and Tammy Stone, our appraiser who leads that department and that meets with them. The discussion can go on very detailed and on length, and they're very thorough. Absolutely. They care a whole lot.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just add that, you know, usually that's a formality, but I do believe 80% of success is just showing up. So it would be nice for somebody there to just show up once in a while and say hello so we know who we're voting on. It's kind of unusual to just vote for them and we never talk to them, seen them, or know who they are except for their little description here.
We have never requested for them to come before the board, but if that's a request, we can make a request that we either have the members or some representatives from the members come and introduce themselves to our board of directors. But that is not something we've ever done in the past, so I don't want to fault them for not being here because we've never requested it of them in the past.
But their role is advising your staff on agricultural assessments?
Yes. You know, what the level of intensity should be, any particular issues that are going on in Travis County that we need to be aware of as we're calculating our agricultural appraisal models. They assist in those issues.
Okay.
So we would be looking for a motion for approval as recommended, or if anyone has any substitutions or modifications.
Correct.
Yep.
Motion to approve as recommended.
I'll second it.
Item has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Believe that was unanimous. Motion passes. And we will move on to item 6C of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on annual review and adoption of investment policy.
And this is something that we do annually every year at the beginning of the year. And I will let Leanna, who's our director of finance, go over any changes, if there are any, in the investment policy.
We had Linda Patterson review the policy, and she made just minor changes. For instance, changing return on investment to yield. All of the changes are noted in blue in your packet.
Do any board members have any questions regarding the modifications as brought forward?
I reviewed this. You know, there's not too many changes, but it is important to recognize that we're not focusing on return on investment, but yield. And what's the reason for that? Is that because we're not getting any return on investment or very little?
No, the Public Funds Investment Act is what kind of manages government investing, and they line out what your investment priorities are. So yield, safety of principal, your liquidity, those are all outlined in the code, and those are the things you have to focus on.
The result of that policy tends to be that our returns and yields are very low compared to what you might expect. We've been through this discussion, haven't we, Leanne? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, could we adopt a policy that takes on a little bit more risk for more return? Or is this?
Go ahead.
Aren't we bound by the state rules?
Yes, we have to follow the Public Funds Investment Act. We do hire an investment advisor, Linda Patterson, who y'all approved her contract a year or so ago. She makes any recommendations to us. So if she thinks that there's an investment that would be beneficial for TCAD to invest in, and it's within our parameters, then she'll tell us that. At this point, she has us investing in text pool and cash equivalents.
And they're only getting like 1 or 2% interest?
Not even.
Yeah.
I'm smiling, Anthony, because your questions were very, very, very much like my questions my first year on the board, because I was astounded by the low returns we were getting.
Yeah, we're sitting on a lot of cash. It'd be nice to get something more than less than 1%. So
the board would just turn it over to me. I could help take care of it.
I'd be willing to take on a little more risk. But.
And we're in a really,
I'll put it all in real estate.
Right, yeah, we're in a simple position because we're not a large government. We don't have billions of dollars or even millions, hundreds of millions like the city or the county. We have a very small investment pool. So there's not a lot of opportunities for us either.
Thank you for that explanation, Leanna. Is there any further discussion or further questions? Okay. Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Okay. That item has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will move on to our item 6D of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on award of contract in response to RFP 2020-22. I'm sorry, 2020-22. Request for proposals for professional GIS services.
And this is a contract that we have to assist us in our GIS department with mapping things that we do. We do have personnel on staff that deal with this, but we've got quite a bit of volume, and it is more economical for us to hire a third-party vendor to assist and supplement that staff than it would be to add additional staff for us. So we go out and we have professional services that assist us in our mapping needs. And this is the RFP that we put out on that one. And I'll let Leanna cover a little bit more on the responses that we've gotten, the recommendation.
We received two responses. BIS Consulting is the vendor who holds our current contract. And then we received a response from Heartland GIS. We made a recommendation based solely on cost. So BIS put forth a cost of $43.50 per hour, and Heartland GIS was at $100 per hour. So my recommendation to the board would be to award the contract to BIS Consulting LLC.
That's a pretty significant savings, more than half. We're sure they can do the job?
They have been for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They've done we're very happy with their services.
And do we know why there is such a difference? To follow up on Anthony's question, are they proposing doing something more significant than
they aren't? Heartland GIS, he actually reached out to me. They are not in the Texas market at all. Okay. They do a lot of work for cities and counties up in the northeastern section of the country. So I think he was using this as kind of a stepping stone to get into Texas, and he may have not had a great idea of where the ballpark figure should have been.
Yeah, if he wanted to get into this, to the work, he might have reconsidered his bid. So, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, we will entertain a motion.
The contract to BIS Consultants.
Okay.
Second.
That item has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to item 6E of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action of award of a contract in response to RFP 2020-23, request for proposals for professional audit services.
Yeah, and we have an annual audit that is done. We had a contract with our previous auditor, and we did exercise the extension on that contract, but the contract is up and we've got to go out for bid to get a new auditor to perform our audits moving forward. This is always a area where we have difficulty finding people willing to submit RFPs. We posted an RFP in this case, and we did not get any responses. So our recommendation is that we repost the RFP and try to get some responses for people willing to be auditors for the appraisal district.
Mari, is there any resources available to our staff in reaching out to other auditors and other CADs around the state so we could, I understand it has to be posted, but I mean, at least for a sample set of where we could directly send the postings?
Yeah, and it may just have been a timing that it was year end and it got missed. We will repost it, but we do have, we post it to, Leanna, where all do we post our RFPs?
We post it in the Statesman, but we also have a government finance officers group that we can exchange knowledge through. So I've got a list of quite a few that we can reach out to. We'll find someone.
Okay. So we're going to entertain a motion here for reposting. Staff recommended reposting.
So moved.
Okay. Second.
The item has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to item 6F of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on award of contract in response to RFP 2020-24.
Excuse me.
Bless you. Request for proposals for professional printing and mailing services.
Yeah, and we do a lot of high volume printing and mailing that we have to do. The biggest item that we have in that is our annual notices of appraised value, which are really complicated and very specific. So it's hard to find printing vendors that have the capability to handle the complex printing that we have in the merging. So this is a request to hire our vendor to do our printing. Again, we've got to it's a massive mail out that we do on an annual basis. And the recommendation is for Veriverge, who is our current print vendor. They are the only ones that responded to the RFP as well. And the recommendation is to continue with our current vendor, Veriverge.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the board regarding the recommendation?
You say that's our current vendor.
It is. They service a lot of appraisal districts doing the notices of appraised value. Just because they're so complex, you have to have special knowledge in how to merge the data and appropriately print the notices and all the supplemental documents.
Mm-hmm. Was there an increase in the price of the contract this year?
We typically negotiate price based each year as we go into the notice season. There was not a significant increase in their bid, but they'll propose a cost once we provide our actual notice to them and how many inserts we need. Postage costs vary each year, but we didn't know any increase.
It's hard to pin the number down because we don't know, based on legislative sessions, how many additional inserts that we may need to include, what additional mailers we might need to do. And of course, the changing postal costs and postal rates have to be factored into it as well.
Are we happy with them?
Yes, they've done an excellent job. They are used by most appraisal districts across the state.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay. That item has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We will move on to item 6G of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on waiver of penalties and interests for all jurisdictions until January 31 of 2021.
Yeah, and we, our jurisdictions, we're funded through our jurisdictions based on an allocation of a percentage of our budget based on their levies. Occasionally we will have one or two that miss the deadline for making their payment, but we've had quite a few this time that have missed their deadline. But again, given the COVID and the pandemic and the stress that they're under, we can understand, and I think we should be generous in giving them additional time to make the payment for us and not accrue any penalties and interest to give them time to make their payment to the appraisal district. Again, it's just an extension of 1 month on the deadline to make the payment to the appraisal district. Leanna, anything you need to add?
Nope, that covered it.
Have we waived this before?
Yes, usually we do it on a case-by-case basis, and it comes before the board to waive. Once the entities have missed it, you'll approve it and make the request. This is the first time that we're going to proactively come before you, before the entities, to make the request on behalf, just because we've got, I believe it's 9 of them at this point, that have not made their payment. But again, given the current COVID state, pandemic issues, everybody's struggling, a lot of people working from remote, things are falling through the cracks. We want to make sure that we're being as fair as possible.
Has the appraisal district had communication with any of these entities regarding the unpaid bills?
Yes. Yeah. Leanna?
Yes, we've spoken to almost all of them, but for sure the larger ones.
And so it's your opinion based on those conversations that it is more of an administrative shuffle than a we don't intend to pay situation?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Who are the larger jurisdictions?
Maynor, ISD.
ISD.
That's mine. So is there a reason why, Bruce, your department doesn't just reallocate our funds to them? Like, they get their money? Do they actually have to cut us a check?
No. The tax code mandates how they have to pay us.
Yeah. Okay.
A great idea.
I think Anthony should make amendments to the tax code and make things more efficient.
Well, as to all the taxing districts, TCAD is there, but it always says zero. And it's like, why is it even there if it makes it sound like the residents aren't paying, but they are paying. They're just paying through the other taxing districts.
I think it's fair to take what Leanna is saying is, you know, it's more of an administrative function than anyone intentionally not paying.
It's a small amount of money. My only concern was that we're establishing a precedent. We want to be consistent from year to year.
Yeah, I think because of the pandemic, it's extraordinary. We've got some of them have new staff members that have taken over during a pandemic. I want to make sure that we're being fair and giving them an opportunity. And we have waived the penalty and interest for entities in the past. And it's just a small extension. I think if they go beyond January 31st, we may have a different discussion, but I think it would be appropriate this year.
As long as the resolution includes that is because of the exceptional circumstances in 2020. I have no problems with the extension.
Yeah, I agree with Tom.
So I move we waive the penalties and interest for those entities through January 31st with the rationale that we are responding to the hardships of the pandemic.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? I believe that was unanimous. Okay, we will move on to item 6H of our regular agenda, discussion and possible action on litigation and appeals related to pending lawsuits and anticipated lawsuits.
And we do have some matters to discuss with you. We'll need to go into executive session for that. So Cynthia, can you give the instructions for executive session?
Everyone should have them in their email already.
Okay. So if our board members will exit this session and go into your executive session link, the public can wait here in this meeting and we'll rejoin you as soon as we're complete with executive session.
At this, Maria, at this time, I'm going to read the
adjournment. Yes.
Yeah. So at this time, the Travis Central Appraisal District's Board of Directors will stand adjourned going into executive session, citing deliberation of any matters authorized by the Texas Government Code Section 551.01 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, including Sections 551.071, consultation with attorney regarding pending and contemplated litigation, settlements, offers, and matters of which the attorney has a duty to advise the board under the Texas disciplinary rules of professional conduct of the State Bar of Texas. We will stand adjourned and come back into this meeting once we've completed executive session. Thank you.
Y'all really had these meetings down to a fine art. This is great. Appreciate it.
Well, and I will say, I do like doing our public outreach via webinar because we seem to get a lot more attendance through the webinars. It's more convenient for the public.
Oh, right. I can imagine.
Yeah.
And for us.
Mr. Valdez, I think everybody has come back into regular session.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, the time is 12:46 and the Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors will now reconvene our regularly scheduled meeting and we will pick up where we left off at item 6I on our regular agenda, discussion and possible action to add items to future agendas. Does anyone have any items that they would like to see on our next scheduled meeting?
The only thing that we have is a carryover. Again, just for time to prepare, we'll bring the ARB and an update on our ARB processes for you again in the February meeting.
Okay.
And Mario, while I don't want it in February, I thought the point was well made about having a report from the Ag Advisory Board. I think that they do a really incredible service and we probably need to know exactly what they're doing and a little bit more about their activities and recommendations. I thought that was an excellent observation that Anthony had.
Okay. Can do. Would you guys like to see that as just an annual report from the Ag Advisory Board?
Yeah. I would. Yeah.
Okay.
And when we have the meeting with the ARB about ARB matters next time. I assume that there will be material that will be sent to us ahead of time, both from you and from the ARB chair. Is that right, Maria?
Yeah, we reached out, and I think it's just a timing issue. We've had the holidays, and we're really busy, and it, you know, this meeting's coming up really quick at the beginning of the year, that there just wasn't time for Mr. Cordell to prepare his presentation. So I think that we'll be better prepared for next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have a date for next meeting?
We have not yet set a date for the next meeting.
Real quick, Maria, on items for next month or March, how long will those RFPs and the postings associated with them be where we didn't get the bids that we were needing for the audit services? Would that be something where it would be posted for longer than 30 days, so it would show up on a March or an April, or would that be something that we would need to have?
We're only required to run the ad for two consecutive runs. It has to be 14 days before your posting end date. So right now I have it set to end on February 2nd. So as long as it's after that date.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
In the light of silence, I move we adjourn.
Well, we need to set our date for our next meeting.
I know.
Are they typically on Thursdays, Maria? Is that the typical meeting day?
Typically, we will do them on Tuesdays, I think, or it's varied. It's about the schedules of our board members, but we try to do them on Tuesdays and fit them in about 11:30.
Does
that work for you with the commissioner's court?
Tuesday's not my favorite day.
Okay. I like Thursday better.
Thursdays?
Thursdays are better for me. And Tuesday, February 9th, I definitely have a conflict. So,
Leanna, you said the 2nd was the end of that posting period?
Yes.
Okay. So that would be a Tuesday. So, and we already heard that the 9th didn't work. Is that right, Ms. Cartwright?
That is correct.
But we can do Thursdays. I'm hearing that Thursdays seem to work better for our board members.
I think the 4th or the 11th. Mm-hmm.
The 11th would be better for me. I'm actually scheduled to have a COVID vaccination on the 4th. So please don't mess that up.
Are we talking about 11th of February or March?
Yes, 11th of February.
Okay.
Good for you. I need to find out who your supplier is.
At the HEB pharmacy.
Are they're already taking reservations?
They did. I got my name on a list. I hope it works. Yeah.
Okay, 11:30 on the 11th of February.
Sounds good. Yes. That worked for everyone?
All right.
Okay. Adjournment.
I think that's everything. So, Mr. Valadez.
Motion for adjournment from anybody?
I've already made the motion.
I need a second. The motion has been moved and seconded. The Travis Central Appraisal District Board of Directors stands adjourned at 12:51.
Bye, everybody. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you all so much.
Take care. Thank you. Stay safe.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Welcome, Debbie.
Hey, Bruce. Oh, lost him.